This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Because there's nothing like a weekend pause with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
What's up, y'all? So excited for another Best Bits weekend. Morgan here, and I've got my guy, Mike D.
I'm back.
Who blew my mind when he said that. Like, I knew your last name did not start with a D, but I do not know why it still blew my mind.
Yeah. A lot of people hit me up saying, like, I had no idea that was not your real last name. That's the point of it.
It's wild. It still blows my mind, even though I straight up knew when I went to your wedding that that was not your last name.
Yeah.
But yeah, just hearing you talk about it and like the whole story behind it, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's also that my real name is kind of generic. And if you search it, you find so many just different people with that exact same name. I have problems when I go to different countries because it always comes up in the system that like someone else with that name has committed a crime. So I've always just had issues with that name. And I was like, whenever I like start putting things out, I just want to have a different name.
You just need to start referring to them as your other variants, Mike.
That is, yeah, my other variants.
You have multiple variants and you're all experiencing different things.
And the thing about like my different names is kind of different people know me as different names. So a lot of people who I met when I was a kid or like younger in school, they know me as Mikey. And it's weird because they hear my other names and they're like, no, you're Mikey to us. So it's like I can identify where I met people based on what name they call me.
That is interesting. It's definitely cool to think about how many nicknames you've been given in your lifetime.
A lot of nicknames.
Well, Mike D, not actually D, that's real, but his stage name. Let's put it that way. That's your stage name.
My stage name, Mike Destro.
Mike D is on with us, and we got a lot to talk about. It's been a crazy week, especially crazy with how much money we have on lottery tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's coming in at the number one spot, so we're going to dive into the other ones. Amy shared a clip from her son's radio show talking all about aliens, which everybody loves when we share these clips from him. Mm-hmm. He's like a pro radio guy already.
Did you ever have like a time in your life where you did your own like fake radio show?
You know, I did. I carried around my camera a lot and I did more like reporting style things. I never did like the radio thing, but I would do like Morgan reporting live from
the couch.
The zoo. Yeah, like that kind of stuff. And I always, because my dream growing up was to be a singer. So there's several videos of me. I would line up all my animals on the fireplace and I would sing to my animals. Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, I'm not pulling those out from the archives. They're in the archives for a reason. Do you have some where you like did some of this growing up?
Yeah, I had like my own little radio show that I would do. I would just put together a bunch of songs. I'd write these little intros and like create my own radio show.
See, look at you. You basically manifested that.
Sort of, yeah.
Young you. I was just trying to put things out into the universe.
I was just like creating things and I was always like, I could just create a radio show by myself. Mm-hmm. That was the dream.
You know, isn't it crazy? I think about like when I was a kid and I think about Amy's son here, like he's just like, I want to do it. So he does it. Yeah. Whereas when you become an adult, you're like, I want to do it. Oh no, logistics. That's not going to work. And you go through with a spiral of all the reasons why you can't do it. But when you're a kid, you're just like, oh, I'm going to do it. I want to do it. I'm going to do it. You know what I mean?
And you try it and it works. All right, I'll keep doing it. If you try it, it doesn't work. All right, I won't do it anymore. I'll pick something
else. Exactly. Like, I wish we could keep that same mentality, but obviously it changes because you have responsibilities and you have to, like, actually support yourself as an adult. You can't just be like, I'm going to go do this and screw everything else. But I think about that a lot, like the mentality of kids and how they just are like, I want to do it. And here I am. I'm doing it. I wish we could do that.
Yeah, we need to adopt that a little bit more.
I know. It's just so hard, you know, adult responsibilities.
I don't like trying anything new, really.
Really? Yeah. Okay, we're going to get into that because I'm actually going to talk to you and see if there's anything new happening that you've tried or anything. But I want to ask you some random questions. Because his radio show was about aliens, What is something you believe in that other people don't?
Oh, my first one is aliens. I highly believe in aliens. I think right now, with all the stuff coming out, it seems a little sensationalized of like people having a vision of what an alien is. But I've been on this for like 10, 15 years thinking aliens are real.
Same. Oh, I'm 100% with you. Like, I think it's you, me, and Bobby are the three on the show, and everybody else is very skeptical.
Yeah, I'm fully into it. I don't think it's exactly... I think just people have this image in their head that it sounds like a fantasy. And some
like
people,
E.T.
Yeah, and some people exploit that, even with this story... People have been using other ways to like doctor images to get clicks. So it ruins the narrative, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But aliens has always been a big one for me. And then also like because I've had personal experience with like certain kind of demonic presences, like that is a thing I just believe that happened. And people have convinced me that it's not true, that it was something else going on in my life. But I know what I experienced.
No, I believe you. I'm one of those people that until there is like scientific proof otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I will always believe it. Always say, yeah, it's probably true. Even if it sounds crazy, I'm like, no, it's probably true. Unless you can give me straight up proof, like on multiple levels,
yeah.
Scientific proof that it is not the case, then I'll be like, yeah, it's probably true. Because otherwise, who are you to say that it's wrong or not right or it doesn't exist?
Exactly.
So I'm with you. I believe that these demonic presences are real and you've had those experiences. I'm with you 100%. And I also agree with aliens. I also believe the same with ghosts. I believe ghosts are real.
Yeah.
Honestly, just about everything. Like, I could argue on every level. There's not really anything I'm skeptical about. I question a lot of things. And I'll ask a lot of questions about aliens and about ghosts and about people's experiences. But I don't think there's ever a point in time in my life where I'm like, no, that's not true. You know what I mean?
I always like to hear it out, at least. Do some research of my own. And then even if I don't fully agree with the person or think maybe there's some issues with it not being 100% true, I'll still look into it.
Well, even Bigfoot, listen, like just like you say about aliens, the image that we think of Bigfoot and what that is, I don't know that that's necessarily true, but there are definitely creatures out there that we don't know about. Like we've come to see with down way beneath so many things of the ocean that we have not seen that there are creatures out there we don't know about. So who's to say that's not the case on land?
Is just something coming out of like a hole?
Yeah, literally. Or like literally from the middle of the earth. I don't know. What can survive? We don't know about different creatures.
Yeah.
So I do believe Bigfoot on a level. Like all of these things on a level could be very real. They're just not what we think in our minds because of movies, because of social media, because of what people have pictured us. But I'm like a version of that. Yeah, there's definitely some type of Bigfoot that I don't know about that creature yet. Maybe
it could be like something we're just like not seeing the big picture of it. Like we're seeing like, oh, this looks like Bigfoot. And then we keep running with that image, but it could actually be some other weird animal.
Yeah. Or like some dinosaur that's lived the whole time. And we thought they were all extinct, but one survived. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that reality is also true. Maybe it was really teeny tiny, like microscopic when the big boom happened or whatever, whatever you believe in. And then all of a sudden it just survived and it's lived forever and it made babies. And there we go. We got Bigfoot.
And maybe Bigfoot is just blurry. Like he's just a blurry figure. So you try
like
to take
flash.
A picture. It just comes out as blurry.
Yep.
He just exists blurry.
Wild. See, like that's what I'm saying is like, I think all of these things are true on a level. We just don't know what that level is. I think we're on the same page, Mike.
Yeah.
You're not looking at me like I'm crazy and that makes me feel
no,
better.
No, not at all.
So thank you. I'm glad we found some... We may be two in the room, but I think everybody listening to us is not going to agree with us, would be my guess.
I would assume that.
What is the last adventure you went on?
The last adventure? Mm-hmm. That is always something like I wanted to do as a kid. Like I'm going to grow up and go on a bunch of adventures. And then now like being able to have, I don't know, I guess like the resources to do that, I don't really go on adventures. I see the adventures you go on. I'm like, I got to go on more adventures.
You need to. You do go running a lot.
I do. That's kind of my
But escape. I wouldn't call that an adventure.
No, it is my way to connect with nature a little bit. Like, I like just going out, being in the open, smelling the air and having that feeling. But I do like nature. I just
don't. Why don't you go to any of these waterfalls? They're really close by.
I don't like driving places.
That's fair. You don't have to drive that far, though. And you have your wife, which keeps you company.
Yeah.
I got Remy, who she doesn't talk to me, so I'm just by myself. At least you have a partner companion in that.
That's true.
So it doesn't make it as boring. What's the adventure you want? What's an easy adventure that you want to go on?
I just love road trips in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I would literally just get in the car and drive places.
Wait,
like,
but you don't, hold on, Mike, but you don't like driving?
I don't.
I'm so confused right now.
Like, I don't like just the destination of, like, say I had to drive an hour. I want to commit to like a full trip.
So that's why you won't do, but a waterfall is kind of a road trip because you're really not gone. You're not back until like 6 o'clock at night sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's like a whole day road trip.
I guess I see it more of like a vacation thing if I'm going to take a road trip.
Okay, see, we got to get out of this mindset.
Yeah.
This is how you go on more adventures.
Yeah.
Most of the adventures are like always outside of the city that you live in because cities don't have adventures. But the rural areas, the country, the outside, the outskirts, that's where the adventure is.
It's true.
This is how we get you on an adventure. This is what I'm saying. How we get you on your first like adventure.
I don't know.
You're sitting there like,
I'm very hesitant.
Morgan's not going to help happen. You got to do it. I bet your wife would totally be up for going to a waterfall.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think I've seen a waterfall in my life.
You got to just do it one time. And once you do it the first time, you'll be like, this was really cool and this was worth it. Because think of it this way. There's some people that do drive an hour to go to like Buc-ee's and that blows my mind. Mm-hmm. I'm like, y'all crazy.
Oh, I love a Buc-ee's though.
I do too, but I would never drive an hour and a half out of my way to go see a Buc-ee's. If I pass by it, cool, I'm going to stop. But would you drive an hour and a half to go to a Buc-ee's?
Just a Buc-ee's, no.
See?
Not a chance.
Some people do. But with a waterfall, you're driving an hour and a half. You might get a stop by a Buc-ee's. But on top of that, you're going to go see this really cool waterfall. And after you see the waterfall, all the driving's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it like you want to do it again. It makes you feel really good to be like out and connect. You're like, oh my gosh, there's this waterfall that I didn't even realize was an hour away from my house. I promise you, if you do one, if you can commit yourself to one, even the closest one to here, there's one like an hour away.
Mm-hmm.
The closest one, and you go to a waterfall, you're going to be like, dang, Morgan was right. I'm going to want to do these like every weekend.
But when you get there, does it really feel worth it? Because I feel like I will go there and I see it like, oh, this is cool. All right, what do I do now?
It is because it's something just so different than, especially you who goes running all the time and you see all these cool like landscapes and stuff, right? But it's not like, oh, wow, that's amazing. You're not running in Hawaii.
Yeah, well, I have done that. That was awesome.
That was cool. But like in Tennessee, you're running in the city.
Yeah.
But you go on a waterfall and you go on this like cool hike. Like there's some that you can go on a hike that has like four different waterfalls on your path.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know how to describe it, but every time I go, I'm like, dang, I'm really glad I did that. Not once have I ever done it and been like, I should not have taken this drive and come and did this.
It's true.
So you talk about more adventures, but maybe the adventure you need to go on to start is something new that you've never done before, which we will get into.
I guess you bring up that point of like any regret that I have in my life is not doing something.
See?
It's never the things I did do. It's always the things like, I should have done that.
Yep. And so you're sitting here like, Morgan went on an adventure. Why didn't I do that today?
Although one of mine is like, I regret like not partying more in like high school and college. So maybe that was beneficial that I didn't do that. But I like hearing people's stories of that. That's enjoyable to me to hear how like hard people went in high school and college. Like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I didn't really do that.
You know, I think your liver and your kidney are very appreciative you did not do that. But you are right. I also don't regret going hard in college or high school for that matter.
It just sounds awesome. There's so many great stories of like, oh, this one time. It's like, oh, yeah, I wish I had that experience.
But you are still young and you can still, by the time you're 50, say, oh, this one time in my 30s, I did that. You could still do that.
Because like, I feel like I didn't have like the real college experience because also I didn't like live on campus.
Mm.
So I didn't have like the dorm experience. So I feel like I missed out on having a lot of college friends. So I never did the party thing. I feel like that is what probably my biggest regret in life is not having that experience.
I mean, technically you could go back for like your, what do they call it? Your last lap when you do the fifth year, your additional year. You go back for a fifth year now and do the party thing.
Yeah.
God, no, nothing says you can't.
Can you imagine going back to college right now?
Oh, no, I couldn't. Doing schoolwork? Oh, gosh. No. But all the fun
party
stuff?
I just think about
stuff?
Fitting in now. It's like I'm struggling now with that, like, coming to grips with my 30s. Of now, like, people probably view me as old now. I don't feel old. But 30, to me, when I was, like, in my early 20s, like, oh, man, you're 30?
Yeah.
It's the kiss of death.
That's true. When I was, like, 21, anybody who was, like, 30 and plus, I was like, dang, you're old.
Yeah.
But now I look at it, I'm like, dang, I'm not old.
But. It's like, I'm older than the cast was on Friends in the first season. Like, I'm old.
But that would be cool to document on TikTok, like, to go, and you're like, I'm in my 30s, I'm going to go back and experience college for, like, the first official time.
That would be awesome.
Right? It'd be, oh, there's Accepted.
Yeah.
The movie where they basically created their own college.
Yeah, y'all couldn't get into college, so they created their own.
Yes, you could be the real life Accepted. I'm just saying.
All right, we'll start a fake college. I'll forge the documents.
I'll totally come be a part of it. I'll help you document on social media.
And we can actually, like, teach classes that people would want to know things about.
Like, things about, you could teach a class about Post Malone. Yeah. I'll teach a class on Taylor Swift.
Just do TikTok classes.
Yep, TikTok. We got social media. We got producing. That's what everybody wants to be these days. Technically, we are very skilled experts in our field, Mike.
Did you use all of your college? Like, what did you get a degree in?
I did journalism and with an emphasis on digital media.
Oddly, I did too.
Yeah. I'm not one of those, like, not success stories. Yeah.
I was like, I did exactly what I went to the college for.
Yeah. I feel very lucky for that, though. You talked to a lot of people and they did not. Use the same thing that they got their degree in.
Because I really don't think you have to go to college anymore. You can learn so much just, like, what you do online. You can take all these courses for free, and just getting the experience, I think, is now more beneficial than just going to college. So I feel like there's a kind of a divide of people who say, you don't need to go to college. I don't think you do. But I think for me, what it taught me was, like, just the structure of, like, how to meet deadlines, how to, you know, work in a professional environment. So more so than what I actually went to school learning, I think it shaped me of just, like, what I needed to be as, like, going into a career.
Mm-hmm. I think for certain things, you don't have to go to college. But I do think, to your point, college is a full experience.
Yeah.
And it is something that, and it may change. If there's more people in that generation not going to college, then there might not be this, dang, I really wish I went to college. I missed out. But it's funny we're talking about this, because literally what we're going into is all of us recalling our 21st birthdays.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that on the show this week. A listener called in and she had her 21st birthday, and that's at number 6. And I would regret now not going to college. Now, I did go to college and I finished in 3 years, and I do regret being done early and not, like, mm-hmm. taking the fourth year to stay and just, like, hang out and have fun.
Yeah, I think at the time you want to be done, though.
Oh my gosh, I hated school. I mean, you've seen me in Easy Trivia, Mike. I hate school.
Yeah.
Like, school and learning things is not my... I have a lot of skills. Learning things quickly, applying them to tests and things mm-hmm. is not my forte on any level. But college, like, the social aspect and the having fun and the experiences that I have, I would never take any of that back. I would go back and pay for that because it's worth it. So I am split. I mean, there is part of me that's like, I did apply a lot of the things I used. Could I have potentially learned what I do have a job in without my degree? Maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's enough stuff on social media and internet now that you could definitely learn a lot of it. But I don't know. I just, like, anytime people are like, should I go to college? I'm always like, yeah. Like, it's not a second question of me of like, oh, but should they? I'm always like, yeah, you should definitely go. I feel like it's a coming of age thing, too.
Yeah, I think that part of it, too. But I also think... you shouldn't go and get as in debt as people are getting right
now. That's true. You can still have a cool college experience by not going to a D1. You can literally go to a community college.
That's what
and
I
still
did.
Have the experience.
I started at a community college and then moved on to, you know, the 4-year type mm-hmm. of college. But I felt like that I saved me so much money. And I just feel like you don't have to just go immediately 4 years, go to the best school, get the best education. You're learning the same facts mm-hmm. for the most part. It's a little bit of a different experience, but yeah, don't spend your entire money going to debt just to get the same education.
Well, and you know, I will say, I think, and maybe, I don't know, did you end up going in-state for yours?
Mm-hmm.
So I had, which is really funny, I wanted to be a Texas Longhorn. That was, like, one of my things I wanted. But I remember looking at it out-of-state tuition. I was like, there's no way. I can't do this.
Yeah, I tried to go in-state tuition. I was like, I can't do this.
It was crazy. And so I ended up doing K-State. And looking back, I'm really glad I did stay in-state and then moved after college. Mm-hmm. I felt a lot more prepared because in college, I did want to be with my family more than I thought I would. You get this really big thing that happens after high school where you're like, I want to be away. I want to go out on my own, do my own thing. I'm ready to spread my wings and fly. But after like a few months at college, you're like, oh crap, I really miss my family.
Really? You did? I did not.
You did not?
No.
I had that experience, but like, and it was really nice because I was far enough away that I still had my own life. But 2 hours, I could make the drive and I'd be home for the weekend if I wanted to. And then, of course, after that, I moved back home for like 10 months and I moved to Nashville. And I'm just really glad at the way that that all turned out. Like, there was a lot of things that I planned on happening that did not happen. And holy crap, am I glad that they turned out the way they did. Is the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
But you did not have that experience. You were really excited to leave.
I was really excited to leave. I think because I was from such a small town to where I felt like if I stayed there, there would be nothing really for me. So I wanted to get out of that town so bad that I kind of left and never really looked back. I enjoyed coming home to see my parents. Mm-hmm. But as far as like needing to be around family at that time in my life, I was glad to get away and like go out and learn things, experience things by myself, not really having any kind of playbook to go off of just like, all right, I'm going to go to a new city. I'm going to try all these things I want to do and just experience life. So I really needed to get away.
Mm. But see, isn't that the cool thing about college? We both got to have those experiences because we went to college.
Yeah.
Instead of just like not going to college and then it was like, oh, you're on your own in the real world.
I'm having this kind of experience now with, I have my brother-in-law who's younger. He's 17, about to go into his senior year. He's getting to that point of like looking at colleges and like, you know, asking me and my wife kind of for different advice. And like, we kind of have different opinions on where he should go. I think he should go as far away from home as possible. She thinks he should be like a little more closer to family. I'm like, just that time to like completely break away for the first time after living with your parents for your entire life. I think that's important. I think, yeah, you could be 3-4 hours away if you need to get home in time. Like that's, you know, that's important too. But just having that separation and establishing that independence, I think is really important for kids.
I do agree. I think you move so like you can't stay at home while you go to college. Of course, if financially that's the best option, I totally get it. But if you have a choice, I do think moving away is a good thing. Like you can't just like, okay, I went to class, I'm going to go home, see my parents tonight. I had to plan a weekend to go see my parents. So it wasn't like I was close enough, but I still got what you're talking about, that independent experience. Mm-hmm. I was very much on my own. I very much had to figure things out by myself. And I think that's the happy medium for him. If he's like really confused on both, is he has to be close enough that he could have that if he wanted it. But I knew people that were there and they never went home. You know what I mean? Like you could stay home or you could stay at college the whole time if you'd never wanted to go home. But there are people that stay in town and like go to college in their hometown. And that blows my mind. I was like, I don't think I could have done that. It was close enough. I had my whole experience. So maybe that's the happy medium of the two. But I get what you're saying. I'm really glad like that I moved to Nashville after all of that, because I would have ended up being like in my hometown and I would have stayed. And every time I talk to people that stay, they're like, dang, I really wish before I got married, before I had kids, before this all happened, that I moved and experienced another city. Like what would my life would have looked like? And now like for you and I, we don't ever have to wonder that. It's like, no, this is what it was. And it worked out.
Yeah.
Because the other alternative is it didn't, and you just move back home.
Yeah,
like you can always, move back home.
I think that's always been my like safety net of like, well, if it doesn't work out, I'll just always go back home.
Yep. Well, what did you do on your 21st birthday? Speaking of, we're talking about college and 21st. I shared mine, which is what you were mentioning, how like somebody went hard.
Yeah.
I went hard on my 21st birthday. Hard.
See, my 21st birthday, I did the exact same thing you did.
Did you?
So now I say that I didn't go hard like partying. I wouldn't really classify what I did partying. It was a lot of just like me, my brother, and like cousins hanging out and having drinks. So it wasn't really like going out and like hanging out with different people, that kind of party environment. It was very much just like, we're kind of losers. We don't really have anybody to hang out with, so we'll all hang out and do this. But I was actually interning on the show at the time, and it was Lunchbox, this whole thing of like, every time you turn 21, you got to do the 21 shots. So I did it as a show bit. And I did whiskey, though, the entire time.
Mike.
Yeah, Jack Daniels.
Did you finish a whole bottle?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And I will say, I do not recommend it. Anybody younger listening, do not drink 21 shots of whiskey.
Hey, well, I still recommend 21 shots. It's not a whiskey. That sounds miserable.
Yeah, and I documented the whole thing. It started, like, the thing was, I did it pretty quickly. So it didn't really hit me until it all hit me at once. Because I was just going like, all right, go 1, 2, 3. And then it progressively throughout the video, I get more and more drunk. And then at 21, you can tell I'm like, you know, pretty wasted. But it's not until later that I remember, like, this feeling just went over me like somebody hit me in the head with like a trash can lid. And then I don't remember anything else.
You got hit in the head with a trash can lid.
That's how it felt. Just the,
oh, I was like, wait, did you actually hit it in the head? Are you sure?
That's how the feeling of like the drunkenness just hit me like all at once. Mm-hmm. And then don't really remember anything else.
Did you have the spins?
I just blacked out. Like, I literally don't remember anything.
Oh, you just straight up passed out.
I just don't remember. I mean, I was still alive, moving in my body. But there was that one point after that feeling came over me. After that, I don't remember anything. I remember we were at our apartment, was on the balcony, had that feeling. Just remember waking up the next day, not remembering anything.
Were you hungover?
Yeah, probably.
You just don't really recall?
I don't really remember, like, having a massive headache or, like, spending the entire day in bed. I never really got hangovers.
Oh, I'm so jealous of you, Mike.
Yeah, even now, like, if I do drink ever, I'm pretty good at, like, pacing out the water. Like, I'll do a drink and a water. I know that's, like, the loser thing of, like, nobody remembers to do that. I'd make a point of doing that because I don't want to be hungover.
I would say, it's not a loser thing. Like, you should actually do that. That's really smart of you. It's just, I'm not. I was never good at drinking water, period, let alone when I drank. So I got terrible, terrible hangovers. And I really did. Like, there is documentation in a shot book that I have at my house of every shot I took, every bar we went to. Mm-hmm. I had to sign every time I took a shot. And there was a quote that I also, like, so the person who was, like, my shot book handler, right? She was with me all night. And you give somebody that duty. And it's like an honor. You take on that honor of, like, you're the shot book person. And you put it all together for them. And then you watch over it all night. And you write everything down. And my girlfriend at the time, so she's like, Morgan, there's a lot of cuss words as it just kept going throughout the weekend, because it was the first thing you're supposed to write exactly what they say, right? Whatever comes out of their mouth after they take the shot. And just the more I got drunk, the more blurred the signatures were, and the more she couldn't articulate what I was trying to say as my quote after the shots. And it's funny. It is a cool, like, I hope the tradition continues for people, because it is the coolest way to look back on, like, a really monumental, like, birthday in your life. Because otherwise, you get really, really drunk and you don't remember anything. I woke up the next morning. I was hungover for like 2 days, Mike. And I'm not kidding you. I always throw up. That's always part of my hangover. But I am not kidding you when I say I was not well that morning. I took off all my clothes and I just sat in the shower for like 4 hours. I was like, I don't really know what's going to happen, so I'm just going to sit right here and just, I'll be here if anybody needs me. I don't think I ate anything until like 8 p.m. that next day. Maybe had like a piece of bread. I was not well. But like that night, after the 24 shots, I walked home. Like, our house is like two blocks from the main bars in Manhattan. And I walked my butt home. I had my shot book in hand and I was like happy as can be walking home. Next morning, not so much. I was not well. So 21st birthday, I say do it. I mean, I don't encourage that much drinking. I think you should drink and have a good time. I do encourage the shot book if you can do it, if you feel like you can. Granted, I did go very hard in college. So me having 21 shots was not really out of the question. Like, I had done probably like 12 every weekend. Like, it was not abnormal.
It's like running a marathon.
Yeah. I was like, okay, you just got to push it a little bit more. And they weren't all whiskey shots. There were strong ones. Like, there was a tequila, a fireball. I mean, vodka. There was plain shots in there, but there were also lemon drop shots and like different names that I'm not going to say on here of things that you took. And so they weren't all totally straight whiskey. You doing that sounds insane to me.
Yeah, it was the only like harder alcohol that I like. So I was like, all right, we're going straight whiskey.
Wild. But I love it. I love that we both had, see, like, and you look back and you're like, this year I'm about to do my 30th birthday and I'm like, I have to do something really awesome. I have to, because like my 21st birthday, I look back on often and I'm like, that was so epic and it was so worth it. So like every monumental birthday, I'm like, I have to like keep up with that trend, because the 21st birthday was crazy, you know? I don't know. That's just how I feel. Yeah, did you do that for your 30th? Something crazy?
I didn't do anything crazy for my 30th.
Mike.
It was like, well, it was like right coming out of COVID. It was 2021. So it was like the world was still kind of opening up. I think that's when we all went to go see Fast and the Furious.
We did do that. So you did something bigger than you normally would.
That's true. Yeah. I've never done that before. I've never done it again.
You're like, just one time.
Just one time.
Okay. I want to know if anybody else has done anything like crazy for their decade birthdays. This is what I call them. Even though 21st is weird, it's not really on a decade.
It's more what happens that you turn 21, you're able to buy the booze.
Yes.
Not so much the number.
And we had this place, I remember it was funny because I was buying before I was 21. Shh, it was a secret. But we had a place called the Library. That was our liquor store. And I remember the first charges on my debit card and my mom, because my mom had access because they were really worried that I was going to spend all my money. And she was like, why are you buying stuff from the library? This is like $20 at the library. Like, what's at the library? And I got away with it for like 6 months. And I'd just be like, oh, I'm buying a bagel or like coffee, whatever.
They charge to check out books now?
Yep. And then finally one day she was like, this is not the library, is it? I was like, yeah, it is. I tried so hard. And she's like, no, I have a feeling I know
that
what
is a genius idea, though, to name like places.
Isn't it? Right? Like, instead of it being the liquor store, it was literally called the library. And so anytime it showed up, it was like, that's the library. Funny. So, you know, I got away with it for a long time. Then I didn't. And I was like, okay, guys, I can't buy it anymore.
It's funny you mentioned, like, celebrating birthdays. I was at the orthodontist this week, and they, you know how they pull up your file or whatever, and they see your birthday's coming up?
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me, like, oh, what are you doing for your birthday coming up? I was like, nothing. And I think I never really enjoyed celebrating my birthday. But kind of my thing this year has been just, like, enjoying things, living in the moment more. That it was them saying that to me and not really having anything planned or that I wanted to do kind of made me realize, like, I should, like, do something. It just feels like I have trouble celebrating things or putting any kind of attention on myself. But I feel like someday I'll look back on that and think, well, like, I should have done something for that birthday.
You always should do something for your birthday and go on the adventures that you want to go on. Big proponent of all... Proponent? I said that right. Question myself. You should totally do all these things. And you definitely should celebrate yourself, even if at a point in your life that was not the case. You are at a different point in your life now. So you got to celebrate the different season change that has happened for you. You got a wife now. You have a whole life for yourself. Like, you got to celebrate that. You're not in the same state that when you didn't used to like to celebrate your birthdays. You're in a different person now. So you got to treat yourself like you're a different person. Right?
Yeah. For 32, I guess so.
Exactly. And I know it's weird. Like, I know sometimes when I plan things, I just get very nervous and I'm like, okay, does anybody actually want to do this?
I think nobody wants to come is my thing. I'm like, I would kind of want to do this, but I think inviting people is like, oh, I know they like inviting them to do something. Like, they're not going to want to do this.
No, I think people who care about you, Mike, will always want to show up. Even if they can't, say they can't for whatever reason. They're always going to want to or find a way to for you in that moment because you're doing that. Like, they want to show up for you. I think people, like, genuinely good people do want to show up. I could be wrong, but I genuinely feel that way. But I'm with you. Like, I still feel that way. Even when I plan things, I'm like, oh, is this, like, just another thing for people to do? Do they feel like they have to come? Is this actually going to be fun? Do I, like, and then I get really anxious if things don't go as planned. And I'm like, oh, dang, now it's not fun. I shouldn't have done it. But 9 times out of 10, there's the 1 out of 10. I'm going to say that. There's the 1 out of 10 where I'm like, dang, I shouldn't have done this. But 9 out of 10 times, I'm glad I did it. So I'm giving you really good odds here. Better odds than we had at the lottery all week. Much better odds.
Much better odds. Because I always like going to when it's other people's things, like other people getting the attention. I'm good with that. I enjoy that. I enjoy going to birthday parties when it's on somebody else. But it's some reason when the story shifts and it's on you, I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to do that.
But you're getting better at this. You are doing. You have your podcast. You've talked a lot more. You've even said that you're like making jokes in between our segments and stuff. Yeah. You've been doing this for yourself. This is another step for you. This is another step in the new Mike D.
The celebrating of birthdays.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's you're just in a new season, so you got to treat it like you're in a new season.
All right. I'm in my birthday era.
Yep. Birthday era. Maybe you go to a waterfall on your birthday. That's a combination of the two. Then you don't have to be anxious about anything. You did something That's for true. Yourself. You went on an adventure. You just stop at Bucky's. I mean, you could make it a whole thing. You could even make it a weekend trip.
That's more my speed.
There you go. The compromise. We're all about compromise here. We found it.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
We had Philip Phillips stop by the show this week, and he's super awesome. He won American Idol, and you may know him from his song Home. There's a super cool interview. You can watch his performance on our YouTube page. But I saw iHeartRadio on social media ask this question, and now I want to know what you think. Would you rather have an infinite number of concert tickets, or would you rather have a one-time backstage pass?
Infinite.
I love a good would you rather.
Yeah, an infinite amount of concert tickets or one backstage pass that's only used once.
One time, and it can be to whoever, wherever you want, but it's only one time, whereas the other one is all over the place. You can go anywhere, see all these concerts, you get infinite tickets.
Oh, that's a tough one because I would want to meet Post Malone. I would use that as my one backstage pass, but the value on that.
I know.
Concert tickets are so expensive right now.
But you could be playing beer pong with Posty.
That's
what his backstage is like. I always see all the pictures.
Would you rather have one awesome memory of meeting your favorite artist or just be able to go to every concert? I mean, you can still go to concerts, but you have to pay. I think I have to go the one backstage pass. I would rather have the one experience to go Post Malone and hang out backstage. Yeah, I'm going with that one.
Dang, you might have convinced me, but
I just feel like out of all the concerts I've been to in my life, I've enjoyed them. I would keep going to them. But after a while, I stop remembering them. When people ask, what's the best concert you've ever been to? I really had to think back and be like, maybe that one, maybe that one. So I could keep going to concerts, but if I went backstage for one time and meet your favorite artist, meet Post Malone, I would never forget that. And I think that experience alone is worth all the concert tickets.
That's true. And I do know we're a little bit jaded at answering this question because we do get a decent amount of like country concert tickets.
Yeah. And I'm saying that also is like sometimes meeting people isn't as cool as it seems.
Yeah, sometimes you don't want to meet your heroes.
Like backstage on its own isn't like the coolest experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with Post Malone, for me specifically, he actually does stuff backstage.
He does. He always has a party backstage.
It's more of a party vibe. Like just the general concert going backstage, it's like you're just seeing a bunch of people like move things around.
Literally,
backstage is. So I would go with that one.
Okay. One time for Posty. I mean, I think I'm leaning to the infinite amount of concert tickets. One, because it's on my bucket list to see a concert at Red Rocks in Colorado. I really want to go to a show out there so I could get concert tickets to a show out there. And because you could go see some like cool venues, you know, like across the country. Like you could go to what's the one in New York?
Radio City Hall or Madison Square Garden.
Yes. Like, or Staples Center in LA. And people keep really upping. I mean, especially after seeing Taylor Swift and seeing like Beyonce, Bruno Mars, people are up in their game with tours.
Yeah.
So then I could just always see like the, you know, new updated concert tours that keep happening for the rest of my life. I think I'm leaning towards that one. But I think it's also because I'm not like you with Posty. I got to meet Shania literally on my first day of working
here. That's
true. And so I think had I not met her, I might be that way about Shania. But I don't think I really have that Bruno. I do love Bruno Mars. I mean, and he is like, I mean, he is, what's something that's like unattainable to potentially meet them? There's a word for that I cannot find in my brain.
I feel
brain.
Like it's unattainable.
Is it unattainable? Okay. There's a word. But Bruno might be up there for me. I would love to meet Bruno just because I think he genuinely is a really good dude. And he's a insane performer. But I don't think I care enough to go because I don't know what his backstage is like. He might just be hanging.
I met him very early on in his career.
Was he nice?
He was very nice.
Okay, I was going to say crap.
It was like his first, I think he was promoting his very first single ever to radio. Mm. And he came and played on the Bobby Bones Show back in Austin. And he just came, was it him and a piano? Bobby was just shouting out songs and Bruno Mars was playing them.
So cool. And he's just so talented. Was he like as talented then as he is now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like super, like he could just nail every single song.
That's so cool.
It was incredible.
Dang. He's my one. He's the guest that I want on our show. Like if I could ever get him, I would die. I would literally die more than I even died for Shania because I just think he's so talented. And the way he moves, like so cool. But yeah, I think I'm going infinite amount of concert tickets.
So he's the one guest you would die if we got him.
Mm-hmm. I would die. Like, I freaked out with Shania, but I still kept my cool pretty good. But, like, Bruno come in, I'd be like, oh, holy crap, this is happening. Like, I'd be lit up the whole time, just like, this is awesome. You know what I mean? When you just kind of geek out and you can't stop smiling, you look like a little kid in a candy store. That would be me with Bruno.
I wonder how I would react if we ever had Post Malone
right?
here.
I guarantee I'd be seeing you sitting in the corner. You just have a smile on your face the whole time. That's what it looks like. Because we've had some people in for Eddie, and he's been like that before. Wasn't it... what was the guy we had on the phone that he loves? Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, yeah.
And that whole time that interview was happening, he was just sitting there smiling, big smile on his face. But I think you and I would geek out more, just be like internally. I don't know that we'd externally geek out. Like, we'd be like, can you get a picture? And we just smile, and then that was that. We wouldn't like say anything else.
Yeah, I feel like for Post Malone, it would be more internal. I think my more external would probably be if it was like a movie or TV star.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like since we are in the music space, we're a little bit more familiar with everything, even though we haven't met like every single big artist. I just feel like when we go outside of the world we are working in, it like opens up a different kind of fandom because we're not really like around him all the
That's
time.
That's true. If we brought on Reese Witherspoon like in studio, she was supposed to, and I was freaking out. I was genuinely freaking out. Yeah. Scuba was like, oh, she's coming in person. I was like, wait, really? Like this is happening? And then, like, 3 days later, I was like, she's on Zoom. I'm like, dang it, so close. Or, like, when we had Ryan Reynolds on Zoom, that was really cool. Any of those, like, really massive ones. And now you and I have both had that experience of meeting Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Except I blacked out. You did not. You did much better than I did. But that was really cool. That felt like otherworldly would be the best way I can describe it. I was like, did that just happen? Did I just like actually meet like Tom Hanks, the voice of Woody?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Did you have that experience with him or were you like pretty good externally?
No, I definitely had a like, did that actually just happen? Like, am I going to look at my phone and see there's no picture there and I'm about to wake up from a dream?
So crazy. So great. I love that you and I have both got to meet him.
Yeah.
And not Eddie. It's my favorite.
Yeah. Everybody keeps making about Eddie. Like, yo, we got to meet him. Like, Eddie, go out and do more things.
Yeah, that is true. You know what? That's true. Because especially with mine, he was supposed to be there that night.
What's he
going
to do? Show up to Eddie's house?
I know. But I love it. But you guys went for Rita Wilson, right?
Yeah.
And you probably had an inkling that he was going to be there because typically supports her.
Yeah. In the back of my head, I was like, what if we meet Tom Hanks? What if he's going to be there?
But were you thinking too, like, oh, he might be there, but I may not be able to say hi?
Yeah, I thought, especially when we first got there, is because he was like sitting in a back corner. And I was like, oh, he's just going to be there. And then right after the show's done, he's going to bail out. And that's it.
But he didn't.
He didn't. He hung out the whole time, met every single fan.
That's so awesome. Do you think Rita was sitting there like, dang, my husband, like, we need to go home?
I feel like she's pretty used to it.
Yeah.
And that was the only reason I thought he may not go, is because he didn't want to shift the focus like away from her and make it be about like, oh, it's Tom Hanks here. But everybody was so cool. Like, nobody bothered him during the show. He just got to enjoy it like a normal fan would.
And remind me, I think you said it on the show, were you one of the first ones that said hi to him?
I was like, no, somebody else started the chain.
Okay, I didn't know if you were the one that started it.
But once I saw that it was opened up, I was like, we're going for it. Mm-hmm. We're not leaving here until we meet him.
Yeah, that's especially as much as you love movies. Like, you're like, there's no chance I'm leaving. If everybody gets to meet him and then I don't say hi.
Yeah.
I imagine is what was going through your head.
And it was funny because I had like a thing, while we were waiting in line to see him, I had this thing planned to say to him because he has a movie coming out later this month called Asteroid City. And I was like, I'm going to ask him about his movie coming out because I think he'd appreciate. I feel like a lot of people just always ask him about his older movies, Toy Story, Castaway, stuff like that. I was like, I want to talk to him about like what he's about to put out now because he's probably more excited about that. Got there, didn't even occur to me. I was like,
oh, you forgot.
I was like, I forget.
So what did you say?
I just said, nice to meet you. Like, I said, it's an honor to meet you. And I was like, you mind if we take a picture with you? And he's like, yeah, come on in. So we got in, took the picture. And then my wife afterward, she is actually reading his book right now that he just put out. So she brought that up and his face kind of lit up because I feel like not everybody brings up his latest project, especially when it's a book. Mm-hmm. So he enjoyed like that she brought that up.
Dang. So she didn't black out as much as you did.
No, she did not. She was way more calm and collected than I was.
I can just imagine if it's either that or maybe the guy who voices Miles Morales.
Oh, yeah.
I said that name right.
Miles Morales.
Morales. There it is. Maybe the guy who voices that might make you geek out a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Tom Hanks is up there for you, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, like, when it comes to the Mount Rushmore of male actors, like, he is probably number one.
Who's your other three?
I would say it's Tom Hanks, Tom Cruise, Leonardo DiCaprio. And that fourth one, I mean, for me personally, it would be Adam Sandler.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And we've had him on Zoom, which was cool in itself. But I felt like if I actually got to meet him, that would be awesome.
He's somebody who I think is genuinely really cool in person.
Yeah.
I don't know about Tom Cruise and Leonardo DiCaprio, though. Those I might question. I'm not sure what they're like in person. They're probably nice, but I definitely would be a little bit more anxious meeting them. Like Tom Cruise, even when I met him, I was like, he was sitting there without any security in a massive stadium. And just vibing along to a song, I was like, oh, he's going to be a nice guy. I just knew it. But, like, I think about Tom Cruise, and I think about Leonardo DiCaprio, and I'm like, I don't know.
I think it depends on the day. Yeah. I feel like even Adam Sandler a little bit, because I feel like he gets it so much and has been famous for so long that the experience you have with him could vary. Because I think he doesn't really like taking, like, pictures with fans. Mm-hmm.
That's why everybody takes pictures of him playing basketball.
Yeah, because I don't think he's like, oh, yeah, let's take a picture type of guy.
Yeah.
So he's almost somebody I wouldn't want to meet. But as far as like the biggest actors of all time, that's who I would put on my top four.
That's a solid list, though. Dang. Now you just got to get the interviews with one of them.
I know. That's what everybody was saying. Like, did you ask him for an interview? I was like, that's the last thing on my mind. Like, hey, would you like to come on my podcast, Mr. Hanks?
That's true. But you know what? Now you have like a thing and you do have a little bit of an in with the whole Rita Wilson situation.
Yeah.
Like, you're cultivating that relationship. So possible.
It's possible.
Put it out in the universe. You just shared your Mount Rushmore. We'll keep putting it out in the universe. Yeah. It's out there. Okay. Well, we also had a moment on the show when Amy shared, she was talking about how she got sworn in over the phone and why that all happened. She was finalizing her divorce. And that whole story is on the Best Bits, Best Bits, just the bits that y'all can listen to. But talking about things that happened in our life, and I told you to hold on to it. I want to know something like new that's happening in your life for the first time. Maybe you're trying something new. Maybe you had a new experience. You're like, holy crap. You mentioned something was happening or you were talking about something that you want to happen. I can't remember now. It's been a few bits. My brain is mush.
Let me try to remember something new going on in my life.
I'll tell you mine and maybe it can help you like jumpstart yours. So there's two things. One, I am trying a whole bunch of workout classes. So I got ClassPass.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of ClassPass?
No.
So it's an app, and basically you, right now I'm still on the free trial, but then you can buy like an unlimited for a month and you get all these credits and you can just go to all these different gyms in town. And you try, like, I did bar for the first time. Mm-hmm. I did hot yoga, which I used to do in high school, but I did it for the first time in like 12 years and I forgot how intense it is, but I loved it. I'm going to do like an Orange Theory class. I'm doing a, I did rumble boxing in town, which is like the strength training and boxing. I'm doing like just, I'm trying all these different workout classes. I'm trying to find my new mojo because I had been boxing for like 6 years and I'm still doing that with mm-hmm. my personal trainer. But I was like, I need to juice it up a little bit in my workout life. Because I was also going to Planet Fitness, which you and I also both go to a lot. So I'm still doing that, but I just want to make sure I'm trying some new things, challenging my body in different ways. And let me tell you, did bar and hot yoga do that? I left both of them and I was like, that was intense. And then the next morning I was like, holy crap, my body. Like, even that I am in shape and been working out like every day for the past several years, after doing both of those, my body literally was like, what are you doing? What is happening? It was a wild experience. So doing those, and I'm currently trying to figure out what the heck I'm allergic to. Literally, it's the question of what is Morgan allergic to every day at my house. It might be environmental factors. It might be my mouth guard that I wear every night. It might be food. I literally cannot pinpoint it, but it makes my mouth and my lips swell up and I look like a balloon. Or that I had lip injections, which is kind of cool. But it's not cool the way it feels. It just looks, you know, cool. So that's currently what I'm debating right now, which is a nightmare. It is not fun to try and figure out
that
what you're allergic to.
That class sounds fascinating to me.
You should totally do it.
Because I feel like I've had that point in my life of, like, running has been my go-to. That's just, like, my foundation of getting exercise and, you know, just helping my mental state. And then I've been, like you, going to Planet Fitness for so long. So I have kind of ventured out a little bit. I do Rumble, which is awesome.
It's awesome.
But I like trying different things to see like how my body just adapts to it. And I like trying, you know, mm-hmm. just different kinds of exercise and different ways to release this energy that I get pent up in my body.
Yep. You need to do this. I'm not kidding. It's amazing. And there's all different types of workouts, whatever you're looking for. Now, some of them like obliged is not the word. Literally, my brain is mush. Don't want to be on it. So that you might not have access to them. But there's like, you can do a cycle bar. You can do berries. You can do pure bar. You can do hot yoga. You can do regular yoga. You can do shed. And these are just here in town. And obviously, it differs for different cities. But I know like every city has ClassPass because there's multiple types of workouts. But, and they have like row house, if you like rowing. Mike is the only one seeing me doing the rowing motion right now.
I might like rowing. I don't know yet.
You see? And that's why I was like, I want to go try some other things and just see before I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy a membership to this place.
Yeah, that's our thing.
So instead of having also to go to like every place and do like their free trial thing, I'm like, no, I want to like just try one class and then go.
I feel like that's the one thing I could be adventurous in is like workout classes.
Okay. Hey, we found it.
I think you literally just turned a light on in my brain because this could solve two of my things. One is like expanding the, you know, different kind of exercise I do because I feel like sometimes I'm just working the same muscles over and over. Mm-hmm. So I feel like doing something different works out different muscles. So I've just been trying to find what I like. Also, meeting people is the hardest thing for me, like making friends. And I feel like even just with going to Rumble as consistently as I have been, I kind of feel like that's a little community that I'm starting to build of like knowing people who only know me from that and don't know me from anything else.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is like two birds with one stone.
Exactly. And you can do it and you can go back to the same place. Like so the free trial, you get like, I don't know, like 60 credits and like each place is like 6 or 8 credits or something. So like you can try a bunch just in the free trial to see if you even like ClassPass and doing it before you pay for their like month to month unlimited and get credits. But it's awesome. Like I've always heard about it and I've heard people doing it. This is the first time that I'm trying it. And so far it gets 5 out of 5 stars.
5 out of 5.
I mean, like great experience. All you do is sign up for what you want. You get full exposure to all the schedules of everything. And it like you can make it work with whatever your life. And our life is a little bit crazy with our schedules. So you can find things that work and you would love it. This is totally perfect for you.
Yeah, I'm gonna look into it now.
All right, I found your try something new. Well, did I make you think of anything when I was talking about those?
Yeah, I have been fully engulfing myself and buying into my nerdiness. I think that's been a hard thing for me is I've always viewed all the nerdy things I'm into to be something I wanted to hide from people. And I feel like maybe just because I'm getting more comfortable in the age that I am, Like, I don't really care anymore. I'm going to like the things I like and be proud of it and just fully commit to it. Because okay. I've always, like, had this, you know, fascination with superhero movies and just things from, like, my childhood that are now cool again. I've just never really fully committed to being, like, this is what I actually do. Mm-hmm. So my new thing is I'm, like, collecting things. I'm going to comic book stores and buying comics and trying to, like, learn about them, learn the backstory, especially because how much I do love superhero movies. Realizing there is basically source material for all the movies coming out. And I've always just viewed that as like, that's way too nerdy for me. That's in a whole different level. But I realized like why hold myself back? Like, I'm not cool. I don't need to try to be cool. I've never been cool. I should just fully embrace the things that I like because I like them. So I'm collecting comic books now. I'm about to get into gaming again and just fully going into embracing that part of my life that's just been me the entire time. I've just been kind of afraid to show it.
Dang, I love this for you. It's like you're coming into what you already were. You were just holding yourself back from.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people that I know and like respect have very nerdy things about them that they're just like, yeah, I'm into that. And it's like cool when like somebody famous is like into like Pokemon or Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
Anything because I would be into it that I've viewed as like a nerd. I'm like, I'm just going to be into it. I'm going to collect it. I'm going to learn about it. I'm going to go for it.
I'm proud of you. Look at you. See, you're getting adventurous in other aspects. Now it's just the one area that you're trying to.
Yeah.
Very specifically in adventures. But you're getting adventurous in like exploring this new part of yourself that you kind of held back for a while.
I think it's also like inside of really becoming a part of anything new, you think there are going to be some people who like guard it or are going to make fun of you going into it. Even like going to a comic book store, you think like, oh, there are going to be some hardcore nerds there thinking like, oh, you're looking at the dumb comics. You don't know anything. But it's really kind of been, it's just fun.
Well, I don't think you're wrong in that. I think there's always people that want to tear people down for doing things that make them
gatekeeping
feel good.
Things.
Yes. On however you want to see gatekeeping as the mean or nice, whatever it looks like. Yes, I think that very much exists. So you're valid in those feelings, but I think it's awesome that you're at a point in your life now where you're just like, I don't care. I just want to like what I like and mm-hmm. I want to enjoy it. Feels like that's where you're at right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like, yeah, I'm an adult who likes things that are fictional. Like, who cares?
Yep. Who does?
Like, there are things that people can be into that are harmful to others yeah. or like you shouldn't be looking at.
I've always looked at being more nerdy as a good thing. I've never seen it as like a disadvantage. People always want to like talk crap about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it really isn't. Can you imagine like talking crap on somebody for just liking movies or books or comics or action figures? Like genuinely, you're literally talking down to somebody who's sitting at their house doing nothing to anybody else. There's a lot worse in the world that you could be giving people crap about.
Yeah.
Not that. I never understood it, but I get where you're coming from and I get what that happens, but I'm proud of you right now. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
I'm excited to see the collection. Because you already got a really massive Pokemon collection.
Yeah.
Maybe this could be like your new thing that you can make money off of because your Pokemon collection is worth some cash money.
And I will never sell it.
Mm-hmm. But now you might have more. You might be that guy in his 80s who has like full collections of things and it's worth like millions. But you're like, I'm not going to sell it. And you pass it down to your kids if you have kids. Or if you have a dog, you pass it down to your dog. I don't know, whatever you like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How cool would that be? See? You're like starting this for a future you.
Exactly.
You're smiling. You're like, heck yeah, yeah. That's what's happening. I love it.
I'm going to look back when I'm old and gray and like, look at all these things I collected. Life well spent.
Exactly.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
I always love having Mike on. It's so much fun. I feel like we talk about things that we never get a chance to talk about. Not only not on the show, but like after the show. Because you and I are just like trying to do 80 million things.
Yeah.
So it's always fun having you on. And that's a random note. That's not what I'm actually going to talk to you about. We're doing this week. We did the draft of best dipping sauces. And that was super fun. Y'all made your votes online, which voting's closed at this point. But sure, if you want to go at it, then it doesn't matter. But let's talk about, I have five categories, and we're going to share the, because we share the best dipping sauce of all time.
Mm-hmm.
These are the five best of all time of these things. And we're starting off strong with something that you are an expertise in.
Okay.
The best movie of all time.
Oh, the best single movie of all time. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a tough question because just this year alone, I probably watched like 50, 60 movies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just new movies. Oh, the best single movie of all time.
And now it doesn't have to be your critic. You don't have to pull out your Rotten Tomatoes side of you right now. This could just be your favorite movie to you that you would pick in a draft pick. Your number one draft pick for all of these is what we're going off of.
I am going to go the first Spider-Man movie.
Oh, okay. Wait. Which?
Tobey Maguire.
Okay. I was like, we got few Spider-Mans here. Okay. The first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie.
I'll go the first one. Yeah. I think that one is the most significant out of any of the Spider-Man movies. And if I could only watch one forever, it would be that one.
Solid pick. It's a great movie. And they're all now on Disney Plus. I think all of them are.
For the most part.
Most of them have gotten there.
I think probably except No Way Home is not on there. And maybe The Amazing Spider-Man 2 with Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, it's so random. Like, there's two random ones.
They're very selective on who they license out the rights to.
It's so random. I think my pick would be Ready Player One.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I watch that movie on repeat. If I cannot find anything to watch or there's nothing that sounds good to watch or I need comfort, like, I put on that movie. It is my favorite movie, and I could rewatch it over and over again, and I love it. I think because it has action, it has love, it has sci-fi,
mm-hmm.
even like a little bit of thriller during like the Shining scene. Like, it just has a little bit of everything, and it's very like futuristic, which I love futuristic stuff. And it's funny. I love this movie so much that I have even Googled, because I love, these are all in similar categories. I love this type of movie. I love Upload on Amazon. I love Free Guy with mm-hmm. Ryan Reynolds. I think it's Anita, I think is what it is. The Power Angel or something. Anything sci-fi, anything related. I have Googled online what movies are like this so I can find other things to watch.
Have you seen Ex Machina?
No.
You need to watch that one.
Wait, send that to me because I don't know how that's spelled.
Okay. it's spelled like Ex Machina, but it's about this guy who wins a contest to go and stay with like this, he's kind of like a Elon Musk type person who is creating like this AI robot.
Okay, see, I like that. There's also like a robo fighting cop. What's that one? Dang, what is it? he powers a robot to fight for him.
Oh, with Hugh Jackman?
Yeah, what is it?
Oh, why is the name escaping me right now?
I'm just going to look up Hugh Jackman and robot. I'll probably come up. Jackman, robot, movie. Real Steel.
That's what it is.
That one. See, anything in that. So Ex Machina, I need to mm-hmm. watch. Okay, I'm going to add that to my list because I'm not, like, I watched the Pacific Rim movies for the first time. Those are in that same category. Anything that are like robots, technology, future, sci-fi.
You got to go see the new Transformers movie.
Oh my God, yes, I do. I love Transformers.
Oh, you'll love this one.
Bumblebee is my guy.
Yeah.
When I met Bumblebee at Universal last summer, I geeked out. I straight up geeked out. Like, I waited an hour to meet Bumblebee. It wasn't even the real Bumblebee, but I still waited an hour. So that's my jam. So yeah, that's why Ready Player One, I think, is the top one for me.
So are you now seeing those Apple goggles and thinking I need to get those so it can be like Ready Player One?
Oh yeah. Trust me. I've been watching the VR, like people have the VR headsets and I've done them. We got one for my dad for Father's Day last year. And I'm like, this is not the same. This is not what I want. I need to be able to be like myself in VR. And when that happens, I will get a VR headset. For now, you're just playing games. when I could be like, it's like Sims, right? Yeah. But it's you and Sims. When it happens that way, you bet your butt that's where I'm going to be. So I can have my Ready Player One moment. That's what I think. Best TV show of all time.
Simpsons, hand down.
Dang. Yeah, that was a quick on the draw.
That's
then,
it. Like,
right?
There's no other show for me. Like, I owe everything, even if I'm remotely funny, like for an ounce, I owe to that show.
That's fair. And that's a long, I mean, that's still the longest running, mm-hmm. isn't it? It's been on forever. So people agree with you. I think mine would be New Girl. It's another, again, my rating system is all based off of how many times I can watch something mm-hmm. and not get tired of it and still love it. New Girl, I can also put on and it's just like always on. I'm always laughing. I laugh out loud when I watch scenes. Same. So see, you like New Girl?
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, I was saying The Simpsons.
I watched
the same episode like 10 times in a row and still laugh.
That's true. Okay. these are our criteria for our best of all time. I like it. Best concert of all time.
This is a tough one.
I know we were talking about it a little bit earlier. I had it on my list. I was like, ooh, he's not going to like my question.
Yeah. I would say because of the scale of the concert, the first time I saw Post Malone, I saw him at a club here and it was maybe 500 people.
Oh,
okay. And that's never happening again. And it was at a time like his first album was out. His second album was just about to come out, not out yet. So it was like all my favorite songs from where I very first got into him, and he played every single one. So I don't think that could ever be recreated. The set list from that show, the venue of that show with my favorite artist. So I would put that one.
Oh, that's solid. That's solid. Dang. Now you're making me question my pick. Well, I had Bruno. It's Bruno Mars at Bridgestone because I got to see him for the first time and I had the best night of my life. I wasn't like, I bought tickets to that show. And that was when we were working on the show. Like, I didn't ask anybody. I was like, no, I want, like, good seats. Yeah. And I want to be, like, here for this. But an honorable mention, I think, would be Garth Brooks' Seven Diamonds show he did at Ascend Amphitheater. Gosh, I think it was, like, 6 years ago now. And it was when he, like, basically broke all these records. And so it was, like, a pop-up Garth Brooks show at Ascend outside on, like, a summer night. And he was playing all the hits. And I was just like, what is life right now? This is awesome. So that's an honorable mention, but I still think Bruno comes in first. But your posty one is pretty solid.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. Not going to lie. Okay, best food dish.
Ooh, best food dish. Ooh, my go-to one is guacamole.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is just like, I could eat that as an entire meal. I would eat that as an entire meal. And it's the thing that I just, every time we go out to dinner, I'm like, do they have guacamole? Otherwise, it doesn't really feel like a real night out to me.
Okay. That's a solid pick. That's a good little dish. Oh, man. You keep making me question mine. Like, I have my picks, and then I question it. Because I did think about tacos, but also my criteria for this one is, like, can people mess it up easily? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be honest. I think I found the perfect one because this is so hard to mess up. And if you mess this up, you probably burnt it. But a grilled cheese.
That is hard to mess up.
It's hard to mess up. It's always good. You always like can eat it in any setting because it's like such a comfort food. I was going to go Alfredo, but that you can definitely mess
up. I've had some bad Alfredo.
Yeah, you can mess that one up. But grilled cheese, and you can make it at home really easy. And you can like elevate a grilled cheese and have like all these different versions. I think I'm going grilled cheese.
Solid one.
Mm-hmm. Which ours go together. They could.
Yeah, you could dip a grilled cheese in some guacamole.
I put avocado on my grilled cheese all the time. That. So good.
Avocado
okay.
toast.
See? Best workout. This is our last of all time draft.
Yeah, running.
Stupid pick. I don't accept it. I accept it for you because I know how much you love it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Best workout. I really need you to stop like really good ones. I think I'm still boxing. I think boxing, when I leave boxing, I feel really good. I just got to change it up, you know? But I still think it's the best workout.
Yeah, it's good to get out just like pent up aggression.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, dang, I got a lot of energy for a little girl. There's a lot coming out. So, okay. All right. Those are our best draft picks of all time. So if you agree, disagree, let us know. Go tell us on social media. Just don't yell at us, please. All right. We also had Bobby. We had Dr. Lorion, who came on to talk about his coins. And holy crap.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I'm going to say. Like, holy crap. The whole studio, I think, is still stunned from the news we received during this interview. That's all I'm going to leave there.
Yeah, I wish I would have my Pokemon cards.
Right? I'm like going to start digging through my house. Like, what do I own? What's happening? I have a rejected segment. These are what I call my, that they didn't even make rejected segments. Mm-hmm. They are rejected segments for the best bits. And so I want to talk about, because I feel like it's really important. We always talk about, you know, just in general, it's really easy to focus on bad things and stuff that's happening, but we never really talk about it. So I want 15 seconds for each of us to talk mm-hmm. about something that's really important to you. It could be stupid. It could be really emotional. It could be whatever you want. But 15 seconds to talk about something that is so important to you. Go.
I would say for me, it is longer movies. People have a kind of disdain for watching something that's over 3 hours. I think if a movie is done right, don't let the runtime like throw you off of wanting to watch a movie. We are so quick to jump to like TV shows and watch 6 episodes at one time and not want to watch a 3-hour movie, but you can explore so much and have so much character development and arc in a 3-hour movie. Do not let the runtime keep you away from watching them.
Oh, solid. That was a good one. I like it. And I agree with you. I mean, nothing deters me from watching anything. If it's even if I watched the, what was it? The Justice League,
the Snyder Cut? Yeah. I loved it. It was great. It was so better than the original movie because they had all that time.
I didn't like that it was a square. It kept bothering me. I was like, stretch it, the screen.
You like the 4:3 ratio?
No, it really bothered me. But I didn't mind. Like the whole time I was like, oh dang, it's already over.
And I just rewatched Endgame for like, I don't know, the 10th time. And I'm glad that movie is 3 hours because that's the last time we got to see them all together. I would be sad if it was any less than 3 hours.
I'm with you. I agree with your rejected segment.
Yeah.
Great pick. Mine's more on the emotional side. It's mostly because because I interact with them. But if I see one more person dump an animal, I'm going to punch somebody in the face. Like, I might be going to jail soon, Mike. Like, I'm seeing so much stuff online. And I don't know if we're just at a point that so many people adopted animals during the pandemic. But, like, rescues, shelters, they are not doing well right now. There are lack of resources. So, like, I just want to reiterate, like, please, like, try and find an animal that you like in a shelter or a rescue, because there's, oh my God, I see huskies, German shepherds, like any animal that you probably want is probably somewhere there. If you just take, it just takes a little bit of time, a little bit of patience.
A little research,
and you can find one. They are there. And it's a huge help because it helps them save one more animal. I see a lot of euthanasia stuff that's happening, which makes me cry. Literally every time I get on my Facebook, it's like more, and I want to save every animal in the world and I can't. But it's just my reminder that if you can, adopt. If you can't adopt, foster. If you can't foster, volunteer. If you can't volunteer, donate money. It's really like you can help in some way or form, but I feel very compelled to do that because they don't have a voice, and we are voices for animals, and we just are like, as a society, just feel like they can just be discarded. Like, I see 15-year-old animals getting dropped off at shelters, and I'm like, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. What is happening? So it's just my reminder, pet is a lifetime. And don't dump your animals. I hate that I have to say that as a reminder, but like, what are we doing? So that's mine. That's my passion plea. I'm sorry. It was much more emotional.
Yeah, that's a powerful one.
I know, but it's just like, it's all over my social media. Maybe it's because of what I follow and what I see, but like just the lack of resources and the lack of, I think, compassion is really sad. It makes me really sad. I wish we could do better as humanity. That's it. Period. I'm going to stop because I'll keep going on and Mike's going to be like, okay, we're going to start crying. So those are our 15 seconds to talk about things that were very important to us. Both very important topics.
Yeah.
I like it. And of course, coming in at number one, lottery tickets. Literally, that's all I wrote. I didn't even try to describe which one. And at this moment, I still don't even know which segment I'm going to insert for best bits, just the bits, because there were so many lottery segments.
Yeah.
I got to find like the one to like tie on a bow from this week. And I don't even know what that was, if I'm being honest.
For me, it was just the first time we did it, I think, because it was like the excitement of like scratching for the first time. And we were in high hopes. We hadn't had any losers yet. And then all the things that happened after that was just like, oh, man.
Oh, it just kept getting worse.
Yeah.
Like, and let me tell you, we talked about it a little bit because you guys heard like Bobby heard the yelling that happened. But I am not kidding you. Like, Scuba Steve and Lunchbox are the same person when it comes to the lottery. Like, two peas in a freaking pot.
They're like that Spider-Man meme, both pointing at each other.
Yes. And like, and they want to yell at everybody else. They were so mad, Mike, that people missed.
There was so much yelling.
And I was like, guys, do you not remember, like, you guys are acting, one, like either somebody took away your child and you're about to fight somebody, or two, that we like threw away these tickets. We did not. We set them aside for a reason so we could check everything. And you would have thought the world was ending the way that these two were yelling about the lottery. And so I just would like to say that we have not just one lunchbox, but we have two. And it's Lunchbox and Scuba Steve. And I've never seen either one of them act so irate and irrational at something in my life. Like, I sat there and I had, like, guys, we have to calm down. Like, just a little bit. This is a lot for lottery tickets. Like, I get this is a lot of money, but this is a lot that's happening right now. It still stresses me out thinking about it.
I realized afterwards, I think it's because I forgot how much Lunchbox invested into this venture that I realized he had more on the line to lose. So that is why he was so...
He did. Let me tell you, Mike, this is really funny. We were driving to get tickets. He's like, dang, I really shouldn't have done 500. Like, I really should have not done that.
I'm still shocked that he did. When those words left his mouth, I was like, you know, this is like...
I think he instantly regretted it. I genuinely think he was like hyped up in the moment. It came out of his mouth and he was like, oh, crap. I can't take that back. Because if I take it back, I'm going to get crap for this.
Yeah.
And you know Lunchbox, if there's one thing he does not like, it's getting crap for something he does.
And he does not back down. Once he says something, he's got to go with it.
Oh, my God. I already said it. It was so funny. We were just sitting in the car. It was like pretty quiet because he had just got done flashing the money and I kept yelling at him to stop flashing the money. It was like quiet for like a few minutes. And he was like, I really shouldn't have done 500. I was like, we're a little late for that.
I mean, even for us who put in 100, that's still a lot. I was thinking that too. I was like, man, like I know I didn't put in as much as they did, but I still feel like I went in too hard on this too.
I know. I kind of regret it. I'm like, dang, $100 just went down the drain. Every time we kept investing, like reinvesting, and it's really funny. A listener definitely predicted this on our live stream when we first did it. He was like, oh, I know what's going to happen. Y'all going to reinvest that back into more tickets, and then you're going to get less, and then it's going to get less, and then less. And I'm like, don't say that. That's bad energy.
That occurred to me after the second time we did it, and I realized, oh, we're just going to keep going until there's nothing left. We're never going to hit that.
Yeah, at this point, I don't have any hope. And I know, like, next week we have some tickets that we still get to scratch off, but my hope is gone for our lottery tickets.
Yeah, I've lost any appeal to ever play the lottery on my own.
We did not help people want to play the lottery. I think we might have made it worse. Nobody's ever going to trust that they're going to win now.
I know. And now all those stories that we read about the lottery, I'm going to be like, did they really win? We tried really hard.
We bought whole rolls, Mike. Like, whole rolls. And we didn't even have, like, listen, cool, we didn't win the $5 million. I get it. That's hard. But, like, we didn't even have, like, a $1,000 winner and all of those. What? That blows my mind. Blows my mind even further that people like genuinely win off of like buying one ticket. Like that is some luck. Like genuinely some luck.
That's crazy. Like first time winners hitting a jackpot. Wild.
I don't think I'd believe it. If I was like playing the lottery for the first time and I got a first time winner, I'd be like, this isn't real. There's no way this is real. You know what I mean? Because when you play it, even when you win like $50, you're like, dang, I just won $50. Like, cool, let's keep going. You know what I mean? Do those people become like really addicted to the lottery after they win like the first time, especially the ones that like pay the Powerball?
Yeah, there's a huge downside to that.
And then they're like, oh, I got to spend all this money back on some more lottery tickets. Wild.
I mean, even the ones that I scratched that hit before I revealed the amount, in my head, it just starts going like, oh crap, what? This is going to be life changing scratching this right now.
Yeah. And then it'd be like, ticket. I'm like, well, that was super depressing. Oh, man. Well, that's the lottery tickets had to come in first. And that's a wrap for you and me, Mike.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean to end it on like a sad note, you know, but I had to. The lottery was such a big thing. Everybody was so excited to watch us scratch off lottery tickets this week. It was a big moment. I don't know. Give us like a few months. Maybe we'll go again. I have a feeling it'll happen again.
Invest less next time. Or go back to our original plan of the 20s.
Yeah. That was, okay, that was another thing that happened after the show. I'm airing all my grievances right now because these two are crazy. I said, guys, wouldn't it make more sense? Because I got crap for just allowing Lunchbox to get the $50 tickets. I'm like, have you ever been in a situation with Lunchbox and you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to talk him out of this? Never. Ever in my life could I ever talk something out of Lunchbox if I wanted to. So I could not in that situation, but I thought about it. I'm not good at math. So tell me if I'm wrong here. But I feel like the odds are better if we would have played the 20. Yes, the prize wouldn't maybe not have been as high. But because more people are playing the 20s, there's less tickets. And if there's still a decent amount of winners in those less tickets, then we have more chance at winning.
I think even aside from that, our whole experiment going into this was to see if we would increase our chances just by buying a roll. Like, that was the thing. And we could have bought more tickets in the 20, so gone through more.
Yeah.
So take the odds and everything out of it. The idea was just to have as many from one source buying the roll.
And so in all fairness, what did we end up with on Friday that we had scratched? Like 60-some tickets?
And we had sunk all that money.
I mean, holy crap. We did it. We did do the theory. It just wasn't as many.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We could have bought more 20 tickets than we could have done the $50 ones.
Yeah, we would have had almost double that.
There we go.
Right? I told you not good at math, so I could be wrong on that. But yeah.
We could have bought more tickets. So I didn't feel like it would have been a better numbers game just to have gone through more.
Okay, so you're saying we need to do this again.
But do 20s.
And we just keep going down. Yeah. We did have somebody write, and they said she bought an entire roll of the $3 ones and won $75,000.
See? Maybe we go all the way on the other side of it.
This is what I'm saying. And that, as I said, the odds are better. To your point, also, on top of it being the more experiment we were supposed to be doing, the odds are better.
I think we were looking at it as trying to have win the biggest prize. And the more odds to have the biggest prize, we should have just gone for one prize.
Just anything?
Yeah.
We did, though. Listen, after this week, we were up. Like, we had won a decent amount.
Yeah.
We won like 1,200. What? No.
Well, we never recouped what we spent.
No,
but
I say won as we got it off of these tickets. So we never went back over our price. We never won over $2,000. But we did have like over $1,000 in winnings. So we would have at least only lost like $50 instead of $100. But I don't think they're going to let us pull out now, Mike.
Could you imagine like if, say, earlier in the week we had won? Like just how that process would have been afterwards.
If we would have actually won a $50,000, like when Lunchbox screamed that we did.
Yeah.
That would have been nuts. Like, genuinely, if we would have won $50,000, I don't think any of us would have, like, genuinely thought that actually happened until we got the money, like, from the lottery.
Yeah.
That would have been wild.
I know.
I do think we would have taken off. We would have taken off a few days. I think we would have been like, we need to celebrate a little bit. That was awesome. Like, one day. We get one day off. Oh, yeah. But now we just get to dream about it.
Yeah.
Super depressing. I don't know, y'all. Just hope that maybe the few that we have left, that we reinvested our money, which is so stupid. But we reinvested our money. Hope next week is a better chance.
Maybe we just enter in this loop where we just have enough to keep buying one ticket, keep buying another ticket.
You know, honestly, I hope not. If it's either we win or you just like take all my money and be done with it. Don't keep giving me false hope. You know, every time we scratch a ticket, I'm like, oh, this is the one. It's not the one.
Yeah.
They're never the one. Okay. Well, tell the people where they can find you on social media, listen to you on podcasts, all that good stuff.
You can find it with my stage name, Mike Destro, on TikTok, Instagram, and everywhere.
Nice. I love it. Okay. I'm Web Girl Morgan on all the things. And of course, the show at Bobby Bone Show. And go check out YouTube. There's some performances up there from this week. Anna Voss. We've got Philip Phillips. And of course, some lottery stuff is up on our Facebook page. All the live streams, if you want to go watch those, there's a lot of lottery ticket stuff that happens in those. And Bobby Bone Show on all the things. I think I already said that. I don't know, guys. It's Saturday. My brain is mush.
Yeah.
This is where I give up. Thank you, Mike, for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Bye, y'all. Have a good weekend.
Bye.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Bobby Bones.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.